If you want to save money on your trading card purchases, we have a promo link over at 50cards.shop. Enter the promo code at night to get 5% off your order.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nexus at Night, your weekly Vanguard podcast, broadcast from my apartment for the last time. I'm Atlas.
I'm Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
Okay, well, their apartments, they continue to be in those.
We're still here.
Okay, but the weird, like, box thing that I'm sitting in front of, that won't be a thing next week. I'll be in our new
apartment.
There'll
be many boxes. I'm just kidding.
It'll be in your new apartment, and it'll still be all in boxes.
Yeah, it'll just be a fort. I just made a big...
No, I believe in the power of your better half to make that not happen.
Look, if I managed to pack, I think I did maybe like 85% of the packing. If I managed to do that in the space of a week, I think I can unpack faster than packing, hopefully. Anyway,
first time?
No, and you know that for a fact. Mister made me almost pee my pants.
I'll do it again.
He'll just show up to your apartment bald.
Yeah. Bald and like with his silhouette in the doorway. God, whoever manages to keep up with the lore of this show, good for you. Because it's like what, almost eight, we're coming up on 8 years now, something like that.
Oh my god, don't say that. Much.
Anyway, yeah, today we're talking about a tournament. What we want out of tournaments. So
yeah.
there's a tweet from at Rui Yang. The $1 million question, what do you guys want to see for upcoming events? Better prizes, better player experience, and so on and so forth.
Okay, I don't entirely know who this person is, but from context, I think they're a Bushiroad employee.
Let's see. Clicking on their profile just says Legend of Hay, and they're in Korea.
Yeah.
But possible. Also
there was a tweet where they said they would like stop using that account and mostly just post on Bushiroad events.
Okay.
So I'm assuming based on that context that they are a Bushiroad employee.
Gotcha. So that means that like the things that we say can possibly have an effect on, which means I will have to, under the Nexus at Night account, reply to that with, this is the first time in a while where I feel like we have any sort of pull.
But, I don't know how much there would be, but the one thing that always surprised me is how even by other card game standards, Vanguard pricing is pretty poor.
Yes.
That is the number one thing that stands out to me.
Yeah. Remember, I think it was Springfest last year, how they like didn't have the participation mats available, and we had to like go through. You had to like give them your address and like go to a store and pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something I had to do, and then I had to mail it to everybody.
Yeah,
that was a weird moment.
So funny.
Yeah. So, like, I think recently, in terms of like the promos they give out, they've been doing better because they're just like reprinting cards that people actually want.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my broken toys.
Yeah.
And then in terms of like the actual prizing, like the prize cards are okay. Like I'll take what Bushiroad is doing right now over what like Konami does with their prize cards.
Which is something broken that you kind of need
sort of. These days they're just printing vanilla monsters.
Yeah. I know for a time they did the like match winner ones, like Victory Dragon, although they stopped that around the time I was playing. When I was playing, you had things like Crush Card Virus. Dark End Dragon, the Synchro Monster, where like it had a reasonably good effect that got around Stardust Dragon. Minerva, yeah. So all that sort of stuff where like you would reasonably want to use those cards, which means they were uber expensive.
Yeah.
Like, the one I remember most is Guide in Hand for some reason. I couldn't tell you why.
That was after I left, because I left like early season.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What was up with Giant Hand?
It was just vaguely playable sometimes.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, $100.
Yeah, the worst kind of playable, to be honest. Like, it's never a card that you were like, man, this card really made the difference. Yeah. But it's a card to be like, it'd been kind of nice sometimes.
Yeah. So kind of like what Dark End Dragon was doing, where it was like, reduce your attack by 500, send something to the graveyard, which at the time was rather rare, because almost everything was like destroy or banish.
Yeah.
And Stardust was like, prevents destruction. So being able to go, I send your Stardust to the graveyard, was a big deal. And was good, but also like, you didn't need it necessarily. Your deck wasn't built around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Bushiro for the most part just gives out like the one promo, and then like if you get into top cuts, there's usually like a top mat and then like a hot stamped promo of like an existing card. So we've had like Eva, Luard. I'm trying to think of what else has been hot stamped.
And I think that's like a good way to do prized cards. Something already existing, but you have the little like the flair.
So even apart from prize cards, like there's not even product as prize at Vanguard.
Yeah, that I was about to say.
Like, absolutely fucking bizarre when compared to any other card game.
Yeah, they don't even really give like participation packs.
Yeah, because like it being a free entry tournament, I assume they're not too keen on just being like, all right, here's, you know, packs from a box or whatever. I remember like certain regionals for Yu-Gi-Oh! It was like $5, but you would get a pack with your entry. So it was like, okay, that at least is a wash for itself. And I don't know if Bushiroad wants to, you know, go over that line.
Yeah. But although I will say this year they did give out sleeves at BCS's.
Which is fine. I think that's good.
Yeah. And they actually had the sleeves as opposed to like making us give our address to a store and then having to go to the store and pick them up.
If I had to have sleeves mailed to me and not like, you know, oh, I got these cool sleeves on, you know, 50cards.shop, promo code at night for 5% off. Anyway, it wasn't like a cool thing that you got in the mail. It was like just regular ass
Rika sleeves.
Yeah.
Like just, I have those sleeves somewhere.
Yeah. I might just go get them. Hang on.
For what?
He's gone. He's just gone.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's just three Takadachis here to keep us company.
His insane laughing down the corridor is his ghost.
Maybe.
Yeah, like with pricing. Okay,
absolutely.
So. I mean, my entire apartment is in boxes, so I can't really.
Yeah, but yeah, they gave us like these. Imagine if you had to like give someone your address just to have this mailed to you.
Okay, so I don't quite understand the appeal.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, like characters from the Vanguard show. It's a fraction of a fraction because like people who play the game might not watch the anime. So you're like, who the fuck is that? Why would I care? Having units on the sleeves makes a lot more sense, I think.
Yeah.
Being like, I'll trade you, you know, Bastion sleeves for your Magnolia sleeve, whatever. Like, that would make more sense, I think, than having the people on it. And also from there, you would also have to buy over sleeves because those sleeves, you want to protect those.
Yeah, because they suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, character sleeves are pretty fucking bad.
Okay, even if they don't suck, you still don't want to have to like buy more character sleeves.
Yeah, that's why after some point I just stopped using character sleeves for anything.
The only thing I use character sleeves on are Great Nature, and that's just because I did before and just haven't like stopped doing it. You know, it's the same Magnolia Stride sleeves since like 2017. I don't use that Stride in my G Zone anymore. But it's still there. Those sleeves are still there. So yeah, there's like the question of, do you continue with a relatively low point of entry and thus lower pricing, or do you do something like, have you guys paid attention to like the Pokemon TCG at all?
Yeah.
No.
So they have like a more complicated system when it comes to prizing and to even like tournament entry and things like that.
True.
Where you have to like participate in what regionals to get access to the bigger tournaments up there. And then in the bigger tournaments, you can get like cash and
Pokemon boxes. Is really cheap to get into, but kind of expensive to play competitively because you have to travel to a lot of events.
Yeah. That's one of those things where whenever I see other like VGTubers at events, I'm like, how are you guys able to do that? Like afford the like Outer Orange.
They're spending their own money that they have from their job.
Just going everywhere on the Eastern Seaboard. Hi, Orange. Mm-hmm. We love you. Anyway. Yeah,
this is the thing the thing they spend their money for, right?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Honestly, like if our channel was bigger, I'd be doing it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I know that when California finishes high-speed rail, it's going to be a lot easier. And then you can just take the train down here without having to spend like $150 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So which system do you think is the better one to have, like Pokemon's multi-tiered thing, or do we keep it like low stakes
for a game like this? Like personally, I would like them to invest more into the competitive scene. Like it would be nice to have like bigger, more elaborate events, especially because like they used to be better. I feel like we used to have side events
that weren't like play 6 free fights and you get a promo or whatever.
Yeah. Like, do you remember when they were still doing like the clan leader thing?
Yes.
I mean, even before that, they'd have like pods where like they would just play like a quick. Single limb 8-person bracket to give away a mat.
Yeah.
Which was at least fun just to like participate in a little little side tournaments at the very least.
Yeah, but I think how did the like clan leader thing work again? Like you had to fight other people with the same clan, and then I think like if you won a certain amount, they gave you a certificate that said that you were the clan leader.
Yeah. And Richard is Gold Paladin clan leader to this day. the fact that he is I guarantee you if that man has children, that's going to be like framed in his house somewhere. That's
yeah. Also, do we want to go over like some of the other responses that were in that thread so that we can like bring up topics that we might not have thought of?
Sure. I just wanted to like get through the prizing thing first and then move on to anything else to say about prizing or
not about pricing.
Is that a lot of because they're free events, it means that there's not like they're probably losing quite a chunk of money hosting these events. This is something that needs to be understood also.
Yeah, they gotta pay the money to rent out the event space to etc.
So what would make this worth their while, if that makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're already quite stingy, so they're not just like gonna cost themselves tons and tons and tons and tons of money for what?
I imagine that the vendors aren't like theirs, right? It's just people who, you know, so it's not even like
they have their own official shop, but
yeah, but it's like usually merch and not
right
arts. So if that's your bag, great. But like for people like me who are just there to play and see people, I kind of ignore it for the most part.
But I think the big thing I would like to see is like more like fun side events than just like free play. And there's not enough judges to like oversee the free play because they're all still running the actual tournament.
Yeah.
Like I like,
go ahead.
I like the clan leader thing. I thought that was like fun, but also just like Matt said, just having these like small single elimination brackets for things like sleeves and play mats that they probably just have a bunch lying around anyways. Because they do like raffle off stuff for their like store too. So like they could just run a tournament for that.
I imagine if you put more effort into this sort of thing, you could have like, even if it's older mats, you could have them signed by like tent pole people within this community. Like if you just have different fights sign a bunch of old mats, I guarantee you people would be down for picking some of those up. Now granted, he's on the other side of the world, so I get it, but you know, something to be said there with like investing more in your creators and your community. Hi. that'd be cool. So Richard, that we mentioned from Nexus Core, says more local events outside of just the semi-annual shop challenges and more prize distribution for Top Cut, i.e. top 16 if turnout is high enough. I don't think everyone needs a map, but I think players would like a promo that says top 16 stamped on it.
Yeah, like that's fair. Idea. Yeah, I think some of their tournaments do get enough turnout for top 16. Like, weren't one of our brackets like split in California, like split between like two sections because, or two yeah. groups because like there were just so many people.
Yeah, so that was I think BCS last year was yeah. that huge.
Yeah, so like clearly there was enough people for like a top 16 mm-hmm. there for like splitting it into two brackets. So, I mean, I guess in that case we just had like two top eights, which is basically the same thing.
Right.
But like, there's probably enough turnout that we can cut the top 16.
Yeah. Deck Flair, another friend of our show, says streamed events game is too hype not to have on camera.
Yeah. Yeah, I know stream coverage has been pretty lacking. Like, if I remember correctly, like there is occasionally like stream coverage, but like sometimes it's just like people coming in and streaming it, like trying to get Bushiro's permission for that. And then like sometimes it's Bushiro doing it themselves and putting it on their channel. I think they do that for like their on like the online tournaments, but not really for like in-person ones, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, like you had the remote fight tournament back when the pandemic was still like huge. And I got my ass kicked at my mom's house. Yay, memories. That was being live streamed. Like they would have like a random match, live streamed. And I think you could still kind of do that in person where like due to the, people being shuffled to whichever table, pick a random table when you're setting everything up and just have it made for streaming. So you have all the equipment there, and then if it's like, oh, you're at table 26, great, that's the streaming table. Your match is getting broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have that for the whole day. I imagine you would want to do that closer to the top of the numbers just as the pool gets smaller. So you don't like, oh, there it's table 26, but there's 24.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever. Like, I know Konami has, like, feature matches like that.
Mm-hmm.
For like Yu-Gi-Oh, so like you just grab one of the tables, like, all right, come over here to the broadcast table and you're gonna have like a feature match.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect, because like that also gives decks that probably aren't gonna top a chance to shine too.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, oh, you're playing OTT, great,
yeah,
let's see how that goes, come on over here. And
honestly, like if you see the way that people like DZeev end up on these streams, like they obviously just grab people the community knows. At least for some of them.
At least, well, so classically in Magic, mm-hmm. Like streams would in fact usually have somebody you know. So if you're a no name, like you know, and you mm-hmm. you're on camera round one, you know your opponent is probably pretty good. It's pretty funny, but yeah, they usually grab people that are like important to like at least like mm-hmm. Magic could be like important to a tour or some well-known player, something like that. But yeah, and then like, and as you get deeper in the rounds, you end up taking people whose matches matter the most, at least ideally.
Right, because you're like, oh, this person's on a like 4-0 run.
Round yeah, five. Or like this is the winning into top eight or whatever. Like,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that would I think make a like first you have people watching the stream from like not that area. People, if you're it's BCS in California and you're in like Indianapolis or whatever, great. I can use that to keep track of what's going on in addition to just kind of staring at Twitter and waiting for people to be like, this happened. I saw this dude over here. And there's like not really a like cogent stream to look at. There's mm-hmm. no like you kind of just have to look at people who you know are there and see what they say as it goes on.
Yeah. So I do think like what Konami was doing, where they just have like a table that they record at, and so they'll just like grab someone from a match to stream it, is probably something that like Bushiroad could afford to do.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that, like, usually for stuff like that, do you keep a like play-by-play and color commentator like you do, like we saw with Worlds and things like that, or would you just kind of keep it like straightforward? These are just the two people.
You would have commentary.
Yeah.
Which does kind of complicate things a little bit, because then you have to like find color commentators and possibly like bring them out.
Hey, Bushi, stand-up comedian, does a podcast. I'm around. Come find me.
Are you trying to make them afraid of you?
I'll drop right. Fuck you, dude. I'll drop round two if it means I get to do it. It's really fun. Like, I've done it for just like a sketch my friend was doing for like a sports thing. But yeah, it's pretty fun. I think that I could see myself doing that in the future if they let me. And I know that's me just being like, pick me, but whatever. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, more going on with the rest of Deckflare's tweet. More side events, so having potential alternate slash old formats would be so sick.
Yeah, like what Konami does with Time Wizard events. Like, we'd have to start normalizing like legacy formats, because there was the like G format that people do. Mm-hmm. But also like
G-boot, as they call it, I think.
Yeah, but they're also like Yu-Gi-Oh! Gets a lot more granular than that, right? Like, they had Goat, Reaper, like Tengu Plant, Edison. Yeah.
I think with Vanguard, you would have to have Bushi seeking out the communities wherever they're able to find them. Mm-hmm. And then being like, we need to inflate your like reach so that more people are interested, so that if we run this, you can do that.
Like, I'd be curious what like slices of time we would use for like Vanguard legacy format. Like, obviously there's G format, but even like G format is kind of broken up into several distinct eras, right? Like, you kind of had early G format, which was just an extension of Legion for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had that like mid G era where everything was like a degenerate combo deck and probably a contender for like one of the worst times in Vanguard's history. So, you know, like, you had Refros looping, you had like Time Leap looping.
Mm-hmm.
I think like the Wiseman loop came around during this time too. All the really bad stall decks. Like, I think like in hindsight, Ripples was probably like could have been dealt with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if the second place deck played Black Boy, for example,
let's see. Continuing on, I would be willing to pay an entry fee $5 to $20 for a better overall prize support. We covered that, and then give fourth place a world's invite. Getting fourth feels terrible.
Yeah,
the fourth plate. I mean, here's the problem with this. I don't really care if fourth place is a world invite, because it's like this. No matter how many world invites you give, the next person will be like, this feels terrible.
Mm. Yeah,
getting fifth, getting sixth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, it's like, well, if we just gave the whole top 16 a world invite,
it's whatever. I mean. I can understand, like, because there's not really a difference between third and fourth, except, like, you play a game, so you basically get to randomly determine who gets to go.
Mm-hmm.
But, I can understand why it feels really bad at fourth.
I assume they're just doing it, like, the Olympics analog, right? Like, metal, yeah. And then fourth place, suck a lemon.
You know? I mean, I think getting, like, bubbled out of top eight is especially frustrating for Vanguard events, too, because sometimes there's just not enough rounds.
Yeah.
So there end up being a bunch of people who are X1 that have bad enough breakers that are not in top eight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kind of issues that, I mean, they could give it to fourth, fuck it. But also, whatever.
A lot of these are kind of the same.
That's not going to change like most people's experience of the tournament, I don't feel.
Yeah, probably not.
Adding a fourth place world's invite? Yeah. No, I don't think it would.
It's a very specific scenario.
Yeah. I think if you were to like do G as a like you know, legacy format, probably what you would just do is kind of what they do with Edison, where it's that particular moment in time, like the end of G, but also it's got its own ban list.
Yeah. I mean, that's more or less what, like, the legacy G format we have now is. Like, I'd be more interested to see, like, what our definition of, like, GOAT format would be. Like, how far back would we, like, stop?
In my head, I would think Legion, but I don't really know.
I don't know. Like, Legion ended up being such a, like... I would probably, like, end it before Legion, like, at Break Rides. I feel like no one remember... Yeah, so the problem with, like, Legion as its own format was it was so short. Like, I'm looking at past tops just for, like, research purposes for other projects, and like there's maybe like one section of events that like had Legion things and then almost immediately went into G era. So like I would just treat Legion as like an extension of G era. Like that's, I feel like most of Legion's relevance was like after the fact once they started printing all of the legacy Legions during G.
Yeah, or just like for most of the clans, they got them as promos. You're like, here, take them.
Yeah.
We're moving on. Let's get on with our life.
So yeah, if we were going to do like distinct, I would probably cut off like our version of GOAT format like at the end of Break Rides.
Mm-hmm. So that's what, like BT15, I think?
Yeah.
If I have the number right? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, because I think the Bermuda set at the end of that still was in Break Rides.
Yeah.
So,
and like honestly, I'm not really a big fan of Break Ride and like the rhythm that the game had at that particular time. And maybe I'll make a video about
like
that.
Having seven different restanders at the top of the meta.
Yeah, it was like restanders, and then just like kind of sitting there waiting,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, okay, can I have my fourth damage yet? Because you couldn't even like self damage because it was a ride. It wasn't like, you know,
yeah.
Having to turn on limit break before that.
Yeah. Although, like, you still had like regular limit break cards that you were using too.
Yeah, but like there were times where like you just wanted to break the deadlock so bad you would just ride your thing on top of the break ride for node gain just to like do something. You know? It wasn't very common, but just like I'm an impatient person, so
yeah,
that's how it shakes out.
Yeah, I feel like if we were gonna do like legacy formats for G, we could break them up into different eras. So
mm-hmm.
up to like, I'd say up to about GBT3, we could probably make its own distinct format, because 4 is when we got Next Stage.
Yes,
I don't know if like Gear Chronicles started being broken with Next Stage. I wasn't quite around yet. I know
Gear Chronicles started being playable with Next Stage, and then it got good in like 6.
No, like 5 was always when they got Melum.
Oh, right. Melum was 5. I thought it was like an extra booster for whatever. You're right. When Melum came out, that's when it got good.
I think it's much easier. I think it's much easier to do these formats at the end of particular eras. So if you were going to split up G, you'd want to do it like right before they got G, like right before G Guardians, or right before X, like right before Xerath Dragons, right before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that,
like,
makes sense.
I think it's a little complicated to like try to like split it up at the exact point that you want or whatever. I think it's easier just to do at the end of particular eras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also think that if they're going to do this kind of thing, what they should do is with the announcement of this, you know, this particular tournament in these places, they should have what side events are going to be there in advance. Because yes. Then you're going to have more people who maybe they don't want to play in the actual tournament and just want to be there for the side event, right?
Yeah.
Some dude who's got his thing for, you know, the legend deck from like right before G Guards came out, and they're like, "All right, cool. I'll head over there and like let's do it." You know?
Yeah. Also, the other thing about Bushiroad events though is that they run like 3 different games at once.
Oh yeah, that's its own.
Yeah.
Can of worms like... too.
It's hard because, like, you don't want to leave Shadowverse out, but Shadowverse also does have its own tournament circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, it is a little hard to, like, find space for all of Vanguard's formats while running alongside Weiss and Shadowverse at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And Luck and Logic and Buddy Fight. And
shut the hell up.
I mean, I think Buddy Fight is
like,
the only...
I feel a little bad saying it, but I do... especially because they are doing a lot of crossover promotion for Shadowverse Evolve, but like, Shadowverse probably does just need to be its own circuit. Like, I feel like constantly shoving like different games into their tournament season probably doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of works for Weiss just because there's three formats in 2 days.
Yeah. I think if they are going to do something like that, then if they're going to like rent out the space twice, it would then behoove them to do the like, okay, here's a tournament entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a little bit more like bang for your buck there.
Yeah. But then, yeah, that does kind of suck for people who play like both, where they have to end up like choosing which game they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's on two separate weekends, but
yeah,
you have to go down there twice, which is like, ugh, gross.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, oh, its own can of worms. I don't know what the like correct answer for that is.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, like, having three separate games, one of which has three different formats, and trying to like find decent time for them is hard.
Yeah. Is there anything that like that's small that you think that they could add that you want to see? Like, I don't care how insignificant it is, just something petty.
I mean, like, their time management is still kind of iffy.
The no 0-1-2-3 just automatic double loss for both of them? Or, like, what do you mean?
The double loss, definitely, but also, like, I feel like the times, like, between rounds and everything is, like, kind of inconsistent. Like, they're, like, our experience has consistently been that they never start on time. Like, it takes forever to start.
Yeah. We like, get there at, like, 8:30 and, like, 11, nearly 11. They're like, all right, let's go. We're like, ugh.
Yeah.
We're going to be here until, like, 10 p.m. or something.
Yeah, like, it's supposed to be 5 minutes between rounds, but it feels like it varies heavily.
Yeah.
Which, like, sometimes can't be helped with overtime and everything, but also, and, like, they are still a little bit disorganized. Like, we had a couple times where they had to reshuffle the tables.
Right. I don't remember that ever happening in Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, like, it feels like with Bushinavi they've gotten better with it, but it still feels like they haven't quite gotten the organization down yet.
Right. I think if there's, like, something small, I miss the clan shirts that they used to have. And, like, just the clan stuff. Like, they have nation stuff now. And I get it, that's your main format. But I really think, like, you could still move, especially on the premium day. Like, having, like, I had a Great Nature sticker on the back of my computer for a while. And then I got a new, like, computer case and, you know, the sticker didn't come off. So that's just gone forever. And, like, I kind of wish I got a, like, a Great Nature shirt. And I think that that's cool. Or just, like, you know, little stuff, right? Keychains, shit like that. I think that would move a lot because there's, like, a weird, almost, hate to say it, nationalism toward whatever clan some people happen to be playing, or just like, fuck, it looks cool. I don't know. I think they should bring that back, even if it's outdated.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Matt?
I don't know, the new format thing seems kind of not natural in a way. It's kind of like, because Vanguard is not a game that really lends itself to having different formats very well. At least not like specific formats. Minus the eras, of course, that we ended in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the G format could be one, but I think like any cutting it down past that is probably not worth it.
You don't think that they should go like Legion in before, they should stay somewhere in G?
No, I don't think it's worth it.
Okay.
Because then you run into a problem of card availability.
Right. And I think with like V, where they insist on keeping it around, it's if you ended up going back to that as like a side event thing, you could use that as the excuse, right? Oh, it's V, this thing. And then not have to worry so much. For Springfest, where you had the three, different formatted teams. We've done an episode on that already, so I don't need to go into detail, but I'm still not a fan.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to say before we wrap up here?
I got you.
No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything.
All right. Well, all that is to say that Bushi's done some good, it's done some bad, and there are definitely like things you can do, and you asked us and we answered, so please get on with it.
Again, the driving force here is dollar bills.
Dollar yes. Bills, y'all. I get it. I get it.
Like, I think like a $10 entry fee for like better pricing and like side event structure is probably worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for this, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's our answer. So thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to Darren Cole, Josh, Jeremy, GR, Ollie, and we have a new $10 patron. That I am trying to remember his goddamn name, and I'm sorry.
How could I?
Wait. Darren Cole, Josh, Jeremy, GR, Ali. Oh, wait. It was... So, TonyD91. I'm just going to call him Tony for now. So,
Tony.
Darren Cole, Josh, Jeremy, GR, Ali, and Tony. So, thanks to all of them for being $10 patrons. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/nexusatnight. $5 or more a month, you get a whole-ass bonus show with us every week. $10 or more, we thank you, and you get your stuff the night before, or our content the night before it comes out. Where can they find the rest of us?
On Twitter, Wiggums, 2 G's, 2 T's, as it says right there.
Find me as Plasma Eclipse, which it does not say right here.
Find me at Atlas Novak, as it says right there in all the places. You can follow my YouTube channel, The Epileptic Comic, my other podcast, Generation Dan, that's about generational differences, or my other podcast, that's every other Monday on Generation Dan's RSS feed, which is called Last Minute History. So the new episode coming out this week on the YouTube channel will be about part two of the Bronze Age Collapse, the Sea People's Attack. So get ready for that. I don't think I said it before, at Nexus at Night on all the stuff. Yep. So thanks everybody for listening. And until next time, I was Atlas.
I'm still Matt.
I'm Root Beer.
And have a good night, everybody.